Moncrief on News Talk.
Whaling was banned in Irish waters in 1937, but in the 18th and 19th centuries, whales and other sea-dwelling mammals were hunted on an almost industrial scale. A documentary to be aired on TG Cahir this Wednesday explores this history. Angus McCaughagan is the director of Giants of the Sea. Angus, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
I assume, though, we've been in this country hunting whales for even longer than that, or perhaps just taking advantage if something washed up in a beach.
Exactly, yeah, I imagine so. When whales would have been washed ashore, obviously, they were, when we were part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, a whale belonged to the Queen when it got washed ashore. So it had to be, the whale oil extracted from that had to be given up to the Crown. But before that and during that, I suppose Irish people would have, there's a long history of hunting basking sharks as well. They'd go fishing from Galway and from Achill and from places up and down the west coast, as far as like 30, 40 miles off the coast, just to catch a basking shark.
Would they hunt basking sharks individually or groups of them?
Mainly in groups. They're found mainly in groups, I believe. I'm no expert now. I'm just a documentary filmmaker now, but I'm not a marine scientist or anything. But they would have gone off to a place called the Sunfish Bank, which was located 30 miles off the coast of Achill, I believe, on the continental shelf. And they would have caught fish there and brought them back and processed them in Galway, I believe.
Yeah,
and in Achill, that's going back centuries and centuries ago. And the first main industrial scale whaling, well, it wasn't really on an industrial scale. It was the first whaling station, I suppose you call it, was founded by a man in Ireland. Was founded by a man called Thomas Nesmith in Donegal Bay up in Inver near Mount Charles, and he came back from the British Army and founded this whaling station. And so it was kind of like, it was known at the time, this is the 1780s we'll be talking about here, so it was a whaling fishery based in Greenland at the time. So he employed people who had been working in that industry up in Greenland to catch whales off the coast of Ireland. And they were kind of like pretty unsuccessful the first couple of years. Then he went away and invented a swivel gun harpoon, the first inventor of the swivel gun harpoon, which enabled him to catch more whales more accurately. And they were particularly, so that's a pretty big feat, like for an Irishman to invent a swivel gun harpoon.
And was that used then extensively elsewhere as well?
I believe so. Well, there would have been different incarnations of it across the globe, I presume. But he's credited with that by the name escapes me now, a guy who wrote a book up and down the west coast. But they were mainly fishing for a particular whale called the right whale, the northern right whale. And the advantage of the northern right whale would be that it's so much blubber in it that it would float to the top of the ocean. So you could easily then pull it inshore to process it. Now, the northern right whale, since was thought to be extinct in Irish waters up until this year, a northern right whale was spotted off the coast of Donegal. Now, the reports haven't been totally confirmed, but it is more than likely that it was a northern right whale. So the effect that the fishery in Donegal had on whaling numbers in Ireland was pretty minuscule compared to that of the Norwegian company who came in 1908 and set up a whaling station on the island of Inishgay off the Belmullet coast.
And they came here because it had been banned in Norway.
Correct, yeah. It had been banned in Norway, so they moved further south to Ireland. And then they kind of like just decimated whaling numbers off the coast of Ireland. So the reason why they came to Inishgay was because it was close to the continental shelf, and they'd set off in two big catcher boats, and they had maybe about 40 local people employed, from the Inishgay South Island, And apparently there was a bit of a rift or a dispute between the North and South Island, and the South Islanders wouldn't let the North Islanders work in the whaling station. So party politics as well. One was Fine Gael and one was Fianna Fáil later. So the Norwegian whalers would come seasonally, and they'd fish off from a place called Rushing Island, which is just off the Inishgate south. And they pretty much decimated whaling numbers. There was like blue whales they caught in large numbers that were, you just don't see these whales species in Irish waters anymore. And they would have hunted it for basically for margarine, to make processed margarine. And they would have barreled it and sent it off to Scotland to be processed.
Okay, and how much of the animal, were they using? And what did they do with the rest of it?
Well, the rest of it was used for fertilizer, mainly for guano. And then apparently pigs on the island had great, were the biggest pigs in Mayo at the time. Because they'd go around sweeping off all the whale blubber that was left, or the whale meat that was left. So before that, the guys up in Thomas Nesbitt and his gang up in Donegal, they would have been, the whale oil would have been used as a lubricant mainly for fine machinery to fuel the kind of the industrial revolution that was happening at the time, and also for street lamps, to light street lamps. Later then, after the Second World War, On Achill Island in Keene Bay, the most majestic, beautiful spot in Ireland, I believe, which was the scene for the film recently, Banshees of Inisherin. The people of Achill set up a fishing industry, catching basking sharks, and they also refined that oil and which would have been used for machinery and Swiss watches and stuff like that. So right up until 1984, the last basking shark was caught.
Yeah, you did talk to a guy called Brian who kind of had a fairly gruesome description of what it was like.
Yeah, Brian McNeil, a guy from Castle Blaney up in Monaghan, moved down to marry a local woman in Achill, and His father had a crew fishing shark and salmon in Keene Bay, so he joined them up. I think he was actually a chef by trade, but he ended up. So what they'd do was they'd catch them in nets and they'd harpoon them, and then kind of if you struck the harpoon correctly, it would in the vertebrae it would stun them, and the kind of the as he says himself, the eyes would roll in the back of their heads, and they'd they'd be kind of paralyzed at that stage, which would make them easier then to pull them ashore. They were processed in Pertine, which was a harbour just south of Keene Bay.
Yeah.
These guys were doing it in Achill since the 50s. And it kind of, there would have been up to, sometimes, some years there'd be over 100 men working there. And if you think of Mayo at the time and all of Western Ireland at the time, like the amount of immigration and stuff that was happening, it kind of allowed people to stay at home, which was one good thing about it, I suppose.
And
you got to think as well at the time,
How did it affect the numbers of whales?
The basking sharks, you mean, or the numbers of whales?
No, numbers of whales. Basking sharks,
The numbers of whales, like globally, have been decimated through whaling, like throughout the centuries. And it's still going on today,
And basking sharks, has it affected that as well?
They would have, the numbers of basking sharks kind of fluctuate in Keene Bay and on the West Coast. So 9,000 basking sharks were killed in Achill. Over 9,000 basking sharks were killed in Achill between 1948 and the 1970s. So if you think of the number of basking sharks in are thought to be in Irish waters at any one time is 9,000 every year. So It would have had an effect. Like, I'm no expert in this or anything, but it would have had a pretty big effect on basking shark numbers. But also, as well as that, you've got to think that, like, basking sharks were being caught in drift nets for salmon as well, up and down the coast. So that had an effect on numbers as well. And
Yes, indeed. Angus, we do have to leave it there. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. That documentary's on this Wednesday on TG Cahir, Giants of the Sea.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.